thank you, Lord, for your gift of music and your the opportunity that we have to worship you in your house, God. Father, we are so ready, Lord, to just give you all of us and all of who we are, God. Prepare us, Lord, for your word, Lord, and what you have in store for us. Open our minds, open our hearts, Lord, for what you have in store. We are ready to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning, y'all. How you doing today? Hey, we had a little rain out there, huh? Yeah, well, you know, that's all right. Praise God. That's just the Lord watering things, cleansing things. So, you know, I'm okay with that. So we are continually talking about worship and music. And this whole month is all about the music and all about worship. And as we were talking about music, continuing on from where we were for last week, music, one of the things that comes up is how do we get it, how do we use it, and how do we interpret it? Now, we all have the opportunities to receive what we hear. And when we receive something, I came up with these three R's. And the first R was receiving music, reflecting on it, and then the last R was how to interpret it and how we resemble. And so we're going to talk about those three R's, receiving, reflecting, and resembling. And that's going to be throughout the theme today. But first, when we receive something, we take it into our possession, into one's possession. We take it in and we bring it internal. You know, we also to receive is to have something bestowed or conferred or to have delivered or brought to one. Or to be burdened with, which I thought was very interesting. Music indeed has a lot of power over all of us, whether we realize it or not. It's huge power over us. And we're going to talk about the effects of that and that power. Music is also used in the professional settings, especially in means of therapy. Music is used a lot of times in therapy. It promotes wellness. It manages one's stress. It alleviates pain. Music can help one express feelings. It enhances one's memory, and it improves communication, believe it or not. And it promotes the physical rehabilitation for so many people. See, when a person sings a song repeatedly, the words of that song become engraved in one's mind. The same is true here. If one sings spiritual songs, the message will become ingrained in his or her mind. See, in this very circumstances, music is the very tool that's used for our memory. See, then this serves how and shows how music has so much power over us and in us. So this is why worship is so important and vital to one's spiritual health. It's directly tied to and affects one's physical health. Next R, reflect. When we reflect on something, and this I love this definition. To reflect is to cast back light, heat, and sound. Light. When I think of light, I think of the light of God. When I think of heat, I think of the fire of God. And the sound. That everything around us is affected by sound. Everything around us has sound. Sound from the surface of what we hear. Sound, and we define sound. Sound is the sensation produced by the stimulation of the organs of hearing by vibrations transmitted through the air or another medium. Reflecting, or also to reflect, is to give back or show an image of, or in other words, a mirror. There's so much spiritual stuff connected to that. It's not even funny. We're going to talk about this. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Being transformed into His image, which is the mirror or the reflection of Christ. Here's the interpretation. We are conformed to the image of Christ in holiness because Christ is made unto us sanctification. 2 Corinthians 3:18, what it's saying is that we are being changed into the image of the Lord from glory to glory, but we all with unveiled face beholding as the mirror of the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord of the Spirit. We put on the new man, which is being renewed in knowledge after Him. When this happens, when we understand what's taking place, when this happens, we have received, reflect, and resembled Christ. And that's the journey that we're on. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Music has an influence. The message of the music gets in either by the words or the song or the mood that influences within us. It affects our very mood. I'll give you an example. People, before they go out and do something they know they're not supposed to do, before they go out and y'all watch the movies, and when they go on the movies, and like before they go out and wilding and doing something like stealing a car or something like that, or doing something wild or something, they turn on this hype music to make them all hyper and make them all revved up and get them going and get them excited and get them all, and then they go again and it's like, hey, I'm ready to go do this. Now let's go do this. The music is affecting their mood. The music is affecting their very being of what they're doing. It's causing them to be into a place that they probably wouldn't even be doing. The music is a tool that's being used to help them. Music also, if you're not feeling well and you're sad and something's bothering you and you can't get through it, you don't go put on the happy song that everybody's dancing and singing to now. You don't put that song on. No, what do? You go put on something that helps you in the mood that you're in, that you can reflect on that feeling, that emotion, because that's what's happening inside of you. The music affects your very being. Anyone ever been affected by negative comments? Anybody ever been affected by any negative thoughts? See, this stuff gets in our mind and affects us. It gets somebody to say something to you and it affects you wrong, it sticks with us. We hold it. It's there. It gets in, just like the music, just like the words in a song. It gets in, it's implanted, and it stays there. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's the key. Life transformation is rooted in mind transformation. Did you hear me? Life transformation is directly rooted in mind transformation. You need to guard what you're throwing into your mind. See, where your mind goes, your actions will follow. That is not something that I'm just making up here. You all know that to be true. Whatever you think about or whatever you hear, like music, may dictate your actual behavior, your attitude, and ultimately your direction in your life. See, your thoughts are sort of like a rudder, and wherever a rudder on a boat, and wherever that rudder goes on that boat, so will your thoughts go right with it. If it turns this way, you're going to turn that way. It's no surprise that Paul emphasizes this, and for our lives to be changed by Christ, our thoughts and what we put into them must first be changed by Christ. Did you hear that? In order for our lives to be changed by Christ, our thoughts and what we put into them must be first be changed by Christ. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's the next key. The renewing, this is the changing or the refocusing of our minds so that they reflect what? The mind of Christ. You need to reflect His mind. See, now you can see the importance and the value of our minds. It's so important that we understand this, because this is why the enemy fights so hard to get control of your mind and your thoughts. He's fighting all the time to control what you are thinking about. He's fighting all the time to get control of your decisions and your thought process. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he says, "The God of this age," talking about the enemy, "has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light," which is the mirror or the reflection of Christ, "in the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Told you this stuff is going to get deep. What a better place for the devil to attack you than within your mind. See, our actions follow our thoughts. That's why the enemy goes after men. Men who are the head of their families. Men who are the head of their house. He can take you out here and get you out and cut you off at the head. If he can control your mind, he's got you and your family. That's powerful stuff. What do we do to allow the enemy to stay away from us? Think about it. If Satan can turn your thoughts against God, your actions then will follow that too. So we must set our minds on the things that are above and not on the things of this earth or here or the patterns of this world. When you focus your mind on God, it's only a matter of time before your actions, your passions, your attitudes, and your whole life become focused on God. Here's the thing. Worship helps you get focused. Worship helps you get to that place where you can get reconnected, remove away the stuff of the flesh, and just start to hear from God and let Him pour it into you. So, worship, when that gets into your mind, if we allow that into our minds, if we allow the worship into our mind, the one thing that I know is that people can be healed. The mind gets to be healed. And when the worship is in the mind, guess who can't get in there? Enemy can't come near your mind when you're filling it with the Word of God, the songs of God, the Spirit of God. The enemy can't be anywhere near your mind. That's why people say, whatever you're going through, whatever your situation is, put on some worship music. Put on some worship music and just let that fill your mind. Because then you're not thinking about the things that are bothering you, stressing you out, troubling you. You're focused on God. And all of a sudden, those things that were bothering you or troubling you, they don't matter anymore. You don't even care about them anymore. You learn how to just let it go and let Him deal with whatever He's got to deal with. See, here's the thing. When you worship, and when you worship, it's from your heart. You have to express, our worship is expressing in an appropriate manner the humbling and the admiring of God in His awe, in His awesome, overpowering love that we feel for Him. That's what worship is. When we worship, we're submitting ourselves and humbling ourselves and saying, God, this life, these things that I'm going through, the stuff that I kind of need this with you in this time with you right now. That's what worship is. So who should go in and worship? Well, Psalms 95, 1 through 2 says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. And extol is to admire and praise him. See, we're not only to sing and make a melody in our hearts, as Paul had encouraged the church in Ephesus to do, but the second part of the verse says that we need to show that such singing and rejoicing is to be expressed out loud. See, we need to just express that joy. That joy needs to be carried over. See, when the religious leaders asked Jesus to silence his followers who glorified him with praise and adoration at his entrance into Jerusalem, his response, which I love, was, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. So he's saying, y'all can't stop this. They're worshiping, they're singing, they're joyful. You can't cut this off. And if you try, then the rest of creation will make some noise. Here's the key. Worship isn't about getting anything, but it's about giving everything to God. That is worship. When I hear of personal struggles, one's selfish ambitions, bickering among God's people, and worship wars amongst folks, see, these are indicators that we desperately need to return to a place of the heart of worship. Returning to the heart of worship requires that we are recognizing who we are in the light, that reflection of image of Christ, of who God is, and seeking to exalt him in his rightful place in our lives, in our families, and within our church. We sang the song today, Heart of Worship. And I believe if we return to a place of a heart of worship, things will change in your life. The words of that song were, when the music fades, so when the music is done and all that is stripped away, and I just simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, because he knows there's not much that we can do, but all he wants is us to come. Longing to bring something that is of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear, and you're looking into my heart. See, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing that I've made it. Because see, you made it probably something else than what he wanted. So I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing that I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. See, when you read those words, we sing them. Sometimes we sing them and sometimes don't really understand what we're saying. And let me tell you, let me be real honest with you. I'm a musician. So the first thing that I hear in music is the music. The words are secondary to me. If I were a singer, I would probably notice the words first, but I noticed the words second. But here in this song, when I was doing this message and preparing for this message, that song from almost 20 years ago popped into my mind. For the first time I ever heard it was probably about that long ago. Popped into my mind, coming back to the heart of worship. Man, when we used to sing this song when I was younger, man, the whole church would all understand and what that meant, reflecting on Christ and who He is. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the things that I made it. This ain't about me. This is not about you. It's all about Him. And we need to stay focused on that. Paul gives us three realities that point out to us the heart of worship. Well, first, you have to realize that your life's privilege is to receive Christ. That's our first R. Your life's privilege is to receive Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 begins, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror," and I highlighted and underlined mirror, "the glory of the Lord." And notice that the two phrases here are "with unveiled face, beholding," and then "the glory of the Lord." Through Christ, the veil which covers the glory of God is removed. How is this? Well, in John 1:14 it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and He saw His glory, glory as if only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." That's how. Second, your life's purpose is to reflect Christ. That is our second R. Real worship is our attempt to communicate how much we admire, adore, and appreciate Jesus. Just as Moses reflected the glory of God after meeting with Him, we too reflect His glory by meeting with Him in worship. See, notice the phrase in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that says, "beholding as in a mirror." The verb translated "beholding" can also be translated to "reflecting." 2 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Present yet another alternative. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." Focusing our hearts on Christ is the key. See, because of those subtle diversions and diminishes, sometimes we tend to trivialize God rather than exalting God. Our minds can take us in places that cause us to trivialize who God is. And we need to be careful of that. Well, what do I mean by this? Well, when you trivialize God, when your mind trivializes God, you evaluate the worship of others rather than expressing the worship within yourself. When you trivialize God, when you seek to attract people rather than attracting God. You trivialize God you esteem your importance as more valuable than His presence. You trivialize God when you no longer stand in awe of His glory, but you think you comprehend all there is to know about Him. Yeah, there's some intellectual Christians out there that think they know all they need to know about God and about Christ, or think that they don't need to know anything else. You trivialize God when you, as a leader, your greatest concern is making the people comfortable when we worship. My Lord. When we worship, the real question is not what do we think of God, but rather what does God think of us? That's really the real question. It's not about what we think about other stuff that's going on. God is looking at you and he's looking right at your heart when you worship. See, this is not something that we just do to start Sunday service because it's a good idea it's strategically done. It's the worship. It's to help engage the whole collective body to bring us all together in a point where we are connected to Christ and come to a place where we can remove the distractions and remove our flesh and clear our minds and clear our hearts and get all of the cares and worries out of the way to open up that funnel of that whatever's going to be poured out from the heavens down into us, into this church and into his people. So we're connected and we're ready to receive what he has for us. It opens up the door. It cleanses us. The enemy can't get into this place anyway. He can't even get a foot near it. This is protected ground. This whole campus, he can't come near it. And the worship causes them all to flee. All the demons and all the stuff, they just flee. That's why we worship, because it gets us ready. And it causes us to get a point where we start to connect. So every part of our lives is about his glory, his past, his present, and his future. See, God gives us the abilities and the gifts that we might utilize them to reflect his glory rather than promoting our own. Unfortunately, many times there are more ambitions about building up our kingdom rather than building up God's kingdom. Did you hear me? Sometimes folks are worried about building up their kingdom instead of building up God's kingdom. See, God does not bless you so that you can compete with him. But it's really so that you can reflect him. That's why you get blessed by him. We're going to have opportunities to dive into this worship. Before I get to the third point, let's get the worship team to come up. And we're going to have a time of worship to reflect directly, to receive and start to resemble Christ. Number three, your life's priority is to resemble Christ. See, we need to notice how in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it concludes that we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. You can't have Christ if you don't receive Christ first. And you can't be like Christ if you're not reflecting Christ. And you can't reflect Christ if you don't first behold or resemble Christ. When you behold him, worship becomes the foundation upon which we build our lives to the Lord. Let us stand.